We've been several weeks in chapter 12 already, and we've learned lots of helpful things about how to put the gospel into practice daily. But today we're going to conclude chapter 12 by looking at just one verse. And Paul ends this chapter with a glorious command, another command for us. This is, if you're a Christian, this is not negotiable. This is God's will for you, for us. And it is this. This text is simple. Just one verse. Verse 21. The Bible says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." We want to look at that verse today and see what Paul and what God, His Spirit, is speaking to us. That is the Word of God for us today. So before we can talk about how we overcome, there's a lot of background going on between the lines here. You could just pull this verse, you could open up your Bible and pull out this verse and say, okay, I'm supposed to be good and overcome evil. But if you've read the first 11 chapters of Romans, you know that we can't overcome evil because we are evil. And so you can't just open your Bible to Romans 12:21 and say, I'm going to go conquer evil. We are evil. We are sinners. We needed a Savior, and God gave us that Savior. So I want to encourage us first, always look at the context when you look at a verse, right? Always look at what the author has said before and after. And in this case, there's a big, broad context. Before Christians can overcome, we see that Christ has overcome. So that's where we start today. Christ overcame. And I'm so honored and privileged to get to stand before you this morning and share the gospel with you that Christ overcame. We are not, as Christians, we are not a people who are just calling people to do stuff and, you know, work hard to save yourself. Try harder, be better. Man, that's all the other religions. But I get to stand in front of you this morning and say, God has done something for us. We have good news to proclaim with the world. And you may have heard that good news, you know, all your life. But today, that good news is washing over you one more time. God brought you here to hear His good news. The gospel is not a call for us to do something. The gospel is a proclamation, an announcement of what God already did in the person of Jesus Christ. It is finished, Jesus said at the cross when He died. Jesus has overcome. And so let's look at that as the background or the context of how we overcome. From the beginning this morning, we need to understand that our victory is not accomplished by us. Our victory is not accomplished by us, but it flows to us as an application or an extension or a sharing of the victory Jesus accomplished for us. You can't, you know, I know there's, you know, you turn on the radio and it's, you're an overcomer, and you know, it's all this, believe in yourself and you can do it. And you know, it's easy to lose sight that Christ did this so I can live in victory. It's easy for us to put the focus on ourselves, isn't it? But we lean on God. We can only live the Christian life with His strength. Amen? Have you learned that yet? God gives us a lot of rope sometimes, a lot of leash, a lot of room to mess up. And He's showing us that we need Him. We don't have it all together. And the message of Christianity is not, you better get yourself together. It's, we can't get ourselves together. And God has given us a Savior. Amen? Such a good reminder. Christ won the victory. If we could overcome evil by ourselves, Jesus would not have had to die on the cross for us. Right? So, we got to look at the broadest context here. The problem is, before we try to overcome evil, we got to understand that we are evil in and of ourselves. At the beginning of Romans, so this was a long time ago, we've been in Romans a long time, but if you can think and remember that far back when you were little children, when we started this book of the Bible, in chapter 1, verse 29 and 30, Paul tells us the problem with humanity. He tells us our situation. Listen to this, verse 29 and 30 of Romans 1. It says they are filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful. Now look at this one. Inventors of evil. Inventors of evil. God describes humanity. We're inventors. Yay, we're creative. Yeah, but what did we use that power to do? We are inventors of evil. We think up things to do that are displeasing in the sight of God. Disobedient to parents, foolish, heartless, ruthless, and it goes on. Till in chapter 3, Paul gave this big summary. You remember chapter 3? He says in verses 9 and 10 that all are under sin. There's no one righteous. No, not one. He used a double negative there just to pound that into us, right? And he says there's no one who seeks God. No one. We are corrupt. If you're worried about the flu or coronavirus, I mean, you really need to focus on the disease of sin, because the whole world is infected with that. That is a pandemic. We're from birth infected, and it manifests in the way we live. So this business about overcoming evil, we are evil. That's the first part of the gospel. We have to understand the problem before we can appreciate the cure. So we can't do it, but God has done it. The gospel says that God acted for us in His great love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8 says. Romans 3 in verse 20 and 21 there, it says that, he had just said we're all under sin, but it says, but God has put forward Jesus Christ as a propitiation for our sins. That's a big word, propitiation. It means the wrath-removing sacrifice, the atonement. God did something for us while we were still evil, while we weren't looking for Him. We were running from Him. We were part of the problem, not the solution. But God took the initiative, brothers and sisters. He came looking for us when we were running from Him. We see it as early as Genesis 3 when sin busted into the world. What did Adam and Eve do? Did they come looking for God? No, God came in the garden calling for them, and they jumped in the bushes and hid. And we've been hiding ever since, running from God. But in His grace, He pursues us. And He pursued us by sending His Son, who took on flesh and became a man, who became a human, stepped into our experience, lived the life we can't live, died the sacrificial death for us, rose again. God pursued us all the way to the cross in His Son Jesus. Hallelujah this morning. God has done something for you. In our helplessness, God acted. He took pity. He was moved. He had grace and mercy on us. And so, how did Christ overcome? Well, first of all, in His life. I mean, we always go straight to the cross. But theologians help us understand, if Jesus had been born and then just died immediately, okay, His death could wash away our sins, but we would still not be righteous. God could take away all our evil, but we need righteousness. And so Jesus lived a perfect life for us. He obeyed God every day. He says in the book of John, I always do those things that are pleasing to my Father. We can't live up to that, but Jesus did. In flesh, as a man, as our representative, He lived a righteous life. Wow. You may be thankful for the cross this morning. Are you thankful for Jesus' life? 33 and a half years of obedience to God. Fulfilled the law. Praise God. Jesus conquered. He overcame in His temptations. Jesus, it says in the Bible in Hebrews, is just like us except without sin. And it said that He's been tempted in every way we're tempted. He understands what temptation feels like. He just overcame it when we give into it. Where Adam, our first representative, failed, Jesus succeeded. Where Israel, the people of God, failed, and they were tempted and wandered in the desert for 40 years, Jesus went out into the desert for 40 days and said no to every temptation of the devil. He overcame for you and for I by the perfect life that He lived for us. So that right before He went to the cross, in John 16:33, Jesus said these words, "In the world you will have trouble. You'll have tribulation, you'll have suffering, you'll have problems, but take heart, I have overcome the world," Jesus said in His life for us. Jesus also overcame in His death. You can't talk about Christianity without mentioning the death of Jesus. He not only overcame evil by a perfect life, He conquered evil through His sacrificial death on the cross. It was there at the cross that Jesus overcame our judgment for sins. How did Jesus overcome the judgment that's against us from God? By standing in our place, putting our sins on Himself, and receiving the punishment that we deserve. Jesus took the wrath of God for you. Wow. Jesus took the judgment, the righteous, holy judgment that you and I would have tasted on judgment day. He took it at the cross. He drank the cup to the bottom. He was punished for you. Willingly, voluntarily. And so in Colossians, Paul talks about the victory of Jesus at the cross. Jesus overcame the rebellion against God, all the powers against God, the devil, the demons, the authorities of this life. Look at Colossians 2, verse 14 and 15. God forgave us, says, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him, that is, in Christ crucified. So Jesus overcame in His life. He overcame in His death, but Jesus also, scriptures teach, He overcame for us in His resurrection. Death could not hold Him. He died as a man, but He rose from the dead because He was a perfect man, the Son of God. The grave had no hold on Him, no claim on Him. He overcame death and hell forever. He appeared to the apostles. To many people at one time, Paul says in Corinthians, 500 men at one time, He appeared and showed them His body. He said, "Look at my scars. It's me, guys." And He ate in their presence to show that He rose from the grave in a body. They gave Him a piece of fish. He ate it. "I'm with you. I'm alive from the dead and in glory." Jesus overcame in His resurrection so that at the end of Matthew, He can say, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." Jesus said that. He appeared to John the Apostle in Revelation. He said, "I am the first and the last and the living one. I died." How many of you can say that? I died. Only Jesus, right? "And behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades," the grave. In other words, Jesus said, "I have ownership. I have sovereignty over it. I have conquered them and it's in my hands." Because Jesus overcame, we who believe can and will also overcome. That is the broadest text, background, context for what Paul is saying to us in Romans 12. If you take into consideration all that Paul wrote and all of the Bible, we understand that we are sent out to overcome evil with good, but we can do that only because we are in Christ and we share His victory. Amen? So now we get to look at the verse this morning. Christ overcame. And so the next idea for us here is that Christians overcome. This is what Paul is giving us as a command, that we overcome. We are more than conquerors, Paul wrote in Romans 8, 37. But what does the rest of that verse say? We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. So we overcome only because Christ overcame. Does that make sense this morning? Our victory is a shared victory. We enter into the victory of Jesus. So I want to show us three phases in which Christians experience this overcoming victory of Christ. Here is how we overcome. The first one is at conversion. First of all, we overcome evil by coming alive to God at conversion. The Bible says that we're all born in sin and we're not automatically Christians. But there comes a time when we are converted. It means that we hear the gospel and God's living spirit raises us to life. He turns the light switch on in our heart so that we see from His perspective. Jesus said you must be born again. And so when God does that, when we repent of our sins, we suddenly see how wicked our sin is in God's eyes. We feel the weight of it. We hate it like He hates it. And we turn away from it and run from it. That's repentance. And faith is when He opens our eyes and we see the cross. Many people all around the world, even in popular culture, know that Jesus died on the cross. But when you are born again, you see why. You see the beauty of it. You see the glory of it. You see what Christians are so excited about. That Jesus took my sin there. He stood in my place. He was saving me at the cross. And so when we're converted, what happens? Romans 6, 4 through 6 says that we are baptized into Christ. In other words, God puts us into Jesus and we share His victory. We share His new life. We are made new. The Holy Spirit comes in to live in us. Our evil is washed away. Our sins are forgiven. Chains are broken. Amen. God gives us His mindset. He begins this work of change in us. But right there at conversion, the power is broken and we are alive to God. Now, listen to me this morning. There is no overcoming evil without being saved. There is no, hey guys, go out there and overcome evil in your workplace. We can't do that until we are born again. There was an old preacher that every time he got up to preach, he said, "You must be born again." And it was like that was the only thing coming out of his mouth. And one time, one of the people afterwards, they asked him, "Why do you always say you must be born again?" And he said, "Because you must be born again." You know, it comes down to that. It's the simple necessity. You must be born again. I would ask you this morning, have you experienced this new life in Christ? Have you surrendered yourself to Him? Have you seen through the eyes of faith what the cross is all about? God giving His Son for you. That is where you first enter into victory. And you can't live a victory life until that happens. You must be born again. The second phase of experiencing Jesus' victory over evil is not that one-time moment at conversion, but it's our whole life as a Christian. And that's really what Paul is talking about here in Romans 12, 21. He says, do not be overcome by evil. In other words, in your life, in your daily living. But go out there and overcome evil with good. So we experience Jesus' victory when we're born again. The chains are broken. We come alive. We have victory, but now from that moment on, we got to go live in victory. In other words, Christians overcome by walking out our faith, by persevering in the faith day in and day out till the end. This is our lifestyle, living for the Lord, saying no to sins in our lives, saying yes to the things of God, giving ourselves to life lived out in the church. All the things that Paul's been talking about in Romans chapter 12. This is our lifestyle of victory, our daily living. And so what happened at our conversion transforms us, verse 2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, it says. And it carries us into a new way of life that overcomes evil increasingly day by day in real life. We overcome evil by living out our faith, obeying Jesus through whatever we encounter in life, whether good or bad. We overcome evil in our lives by persevering in Christ through life by faith-filled obedience until the end. So, if I say the word overcome or conquer, that implies a battle, doesn't it? If I say God wants us to overcome, that implies a struggle, does it not? You can't have a victory without a fight. You can't overcome evil without resistance to evil. Does that make sense? So what Paul is telling us to do implies a battle. We are at war with the sin nature inside of us. Your war is close to home. Your greatest enemy is not the devil, it's yourself. This sin nature, at conversion, that power is broken, but by faith every day we live that victory out. We take up the cross. You got to learn in your Christian life to resist evil within you and to obey the Lord. And God grows us in that. We walk in that. But overcoming implies a struggle. It means it's not going to be easy. God has called us sometimes to suffering. We have Christian brothers and sisters all over the world who are involved in different struggles, some severe struggles and persecution. The New Testament can describe the Christian life as overcoming the evil in our life, as conquering even over terrible suffering through a lifelong, persistent faith in Jesus who conquered for us. I could take you, if you have your Bible there, really quickly back to chapter 8 of Romans. I won't put it up on the screen for us, but just to think through this section in Romans 8. What I'm talking about is Jesus' victory lived out in our lives, even through suffering. And he says in verse 31 of Romans 8, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" And so he's talking about this victory. In verse 35, he says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we're being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." So in other words, there's suffering that's going to happen to us, even as Christians. Christians are not immune to suffering. Christian lives can still be racked with disease and sickness. Christians still have financial problems. Christian marriages still go through very hard things. Christian families can have lots of trouble. Christians can experience mental illness. Christians can suffer with anxiety. Christians can be tempted, can be opposed by this world. We're not immune to suffering. We overcome through the suffering by faith in Jesus. We stand in the victory that Jesus won on the cross, and we live out that victory in real life through the ups and the downs, persevering in Him, holding on to Him, and knowing and trusting that He is holding on to us. Amen? And so God leads us through hard things. I mean, that list that I just read, in Paul's day, he said we're being killed all the day long. But then he says in verse 37, no, in all these things, in what? In the suffering, in the trials, in the unspeakable things that we've walked through in this broken world, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Do you see that, brothers and sisters? I don't know the nuances and details and specifics of what's hurting you this morning. The things you're going through, I don't know, but God knows, and He's not cruel. And He leads us through them so that we will learn how to lean on Him, so that we will be given an occasion to shine a light in darkness, so that we will be given an occasion to draw near to our God and to trust Him like Jesus entrusted Himself to a faithful Creator while continuing to do good, Peter says. In your suffering, God wants you to conquer through it. That means sometimes He'll change the situation. Sometimes God will send some relief in the circumstances. It's okay to pray for relief in the circumstances. Amen? But God won't always bring relief the way we think we want it. To trust Him is faith. To hold to Him is faith in those times, in that suffering. I want to encourage you this morning, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Whatever your list is, and your list is probably not as bad as Paul's. It may be close. This is not to belittle our pain. It's real and it hurts. But in those things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Hold on to that. Hold on to that victory this morning. Overcoming. We see an example of this, what I'm talking about, living out Jesus' victory in the book of Revelation. Just want to mention this as an example. We saw earlier in our scripture reading this vision from Revelation 5 where it said there was this scroll in the hand of the one who sat on the throne. In God's hand, it was a scroll containing the future, all that's going to unfold, all the plans for the future of us. And it says, who is worthy to come take the scroll? No one was found in heaven or earth or under the earth. Nobody was worthy to walk up to God and take the future out of His hands. And John started to cry. He started to weep. He said, it's ruined. It's over. There's no hope for our future. And one of the guys grabbed John and said, don't cry. The Lion of the tribe of Judah has conquered. He is worthy to take the scroll. And John turned. He said, I was looking for that lion. And I saw a lamb. As though he had been slain. A lamb that had been killed but was alive. So this imagery there. The Lion who conquers, conquered at a cross through suffering for us. And he sees this lamb and he says he walks up to the throne of God. That is a human, a man. Jesus in a body representing us walks up to the throne of God and has the audacity to reach up and take the scroll, the future of the world, out of the hand of God. He is worthy. He has conquered. So we see the same thing in Revelation. Jesus conquers, but then He tells us to live in that victory that He won. We see that in Revelation 12. It says that the dragon, the devil, was making war. But in verse 11, it says that the saints overcame him. How? Believers conquer through His blood and through the word of our testimony. And it says they did not love their lives unto death. And so Jesus the Lamb has conquered. And we conquer by standing by faith in His blood. And through the word of our testimony, that is, we are our faith in Him. And we don't love our lives unto the death. That means we don't love life more than God. We don't love comforts so that we don't want to suffer for God. We're willing to give up our lives and follow Him. That's how we conquer in Him. And I also saw in Revelation this week, you remember the letters to the churches at the beginning of Revelation? Jesus writes a letter to the seven churches. You remember how every one of those seven letters ends? He says, to the one who conquers. To the one who conquers, I will give. And he gives a reward. It's different for each church. Seven times there in the book of Revelation, he writes to a church in a particular city, I know your works, I know what you're doing. Then he tells them good job, and he tells them if they're messing up, you better repent, get things right. And then he says, to the one who conquers, I will give the tree of life, or different rewards. Jesus is calling the church to conquer. And that means what Paul is saying, to overcome evil with good, to stand in the victory Jesus won at the cross until the end. To not give up, no matter how hot the fire is turned up, no matter how much the suffering. To stand in the victory of the cross and to keep walking one step at a time, day by day. Don't worry about tomorrow. Stand today. Amen? Sharing that victory of Jesus and living it out in your life, in your situation. This is not the job for the pastor. It's for every Christian. Where God has stationed you at your workplace. Where God has called you to your particular neighborhood and mission. Right? I can't go where all of you are, but we as the church, we are all there. And in good times, some of you are on mountaintops. And you're just rejoicing and dancing in the rain of the blessings. Others this morning, you may be in very, very real pain. But wherever we are, God has called each of us to stand firm in the cross, in the victory of Jesus, and live that out in our situation. Overcome evil with good. What does that look like in your situation this week? Overcome evil with good. So we have an example from Revelation, but we have here in Romans 12. Having some trouble there. There we go. We have a summary of overcoming in everything Paul taught us in Romans 12. So if you're back in chapter 12, we've studied chapter 12 for several weeks. Most commentators that I studied this week said that what Paul is talking about here, verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That relates to the whole chapter. In other words, let me say it this way. What it looks like for Christians to overcome evil with good is for us to do all the things Paul has taught in chapter 12. What did he teach us in chapter 12, guys? What have we been talking about the last 9 or 10 weeks? Well, verse 1, we offer our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. We give our lives to Him. Here I am, take me. Verse 2, we give our minds to the Lord. We submit our mindset, our attitude, our worldview. Transform me by the renewing of my mind. So in other words, when we offer our bodies to live for God, we are overcoming evil with good. When we submit our mindset to be transformed and renewed by God and His Spirit, we are overcoming evil. Then what did he talk about? The church. When we live our lives out in the church and we serve the church with our gifts and we stay connected to our church family, we are overcoming evil with good. Then he talked about loving folks and down in chapter 9, verse 9 and 10 of chapter 12. When we love in this world of hate, we are overcoming evil with good. Then he told us to serve people. We serve with humility, with fire, verse 11. Don't be slothful in your zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. That is how you overcome evil with good. You live out what a Christian life looks like. And then we talked about how we treat people. Be willing to associate with lowly people. Have humility. And perhaps the hardest one, how we treat our enemies. In fact, the closest context to Paul's instruction to us, do not be overcome by evil. You see it there in verse 21, but overcome evil with good. Look at the two verses that come right before that. Verse 19 and 20. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Guys, the closest context of how to overcome is in situations where you have an enemy who's hating on you, who's being mean to you, someone who is persecuting you. And Paul is saying that when we retaliate against our enemies, when we seek revenge, you hit me, I'm hitting you back. You call me a name, I'm calling you one right back. When we do that, we have been overcome by evil. Because we're not responding to evil with love and with good and shining the light of Jesus at that point. We have stooped down to the level of the world. And so when our enemies fire us up and we jump in their face for revenge, we have gotten off the path of Christ. The light has been extinguished. And we're living like the world. But when we, through our faith in Jesus, who when they called Him names, He, you know, nailed Him to a cross, He said, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. When we follow Christ in that and receive strength from Him to love our enemies, we are overcoming their evil with good. Amen? That doesn't mean it's easy. But that's what Paul is calling us to do. Go out there and overcome the evil in this world, in your life, in your situation, with good. Man, in John chapter 1, verse 5, it says the light was coming into the world. Jesus was going to be born. It says the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You are salt in this world. Go out there and shine the light. Don't stoop to the level of sin. Don't live like unbelievers. Amen? Now, each of you have an application of this in your life this week. And it's unique to each of us. Whatever you're going through, you and the Holy Spirit go figure out what it looks like to shine light in that situation. To overcome evil with good in that situation. We experience Jesus' victory at conversion. We experience it through life as we live out His victory. And I want to encourage you this morning, we will experience Jesus' victory fully and forever in the future at the last day when Jesus returns. Listen, our experience, our taste of Jesus' victory is partial in this life. We still have pain. God hasn't given us new bodies yet. We get sick. We die. We suffer. But in our suffering, we are more than conquerors. So we taste a little bit of that victory. But I want to encourage you that the day is coming when our God will send His Son. Christ will return. He says, I'm making all things new. God is going to make a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. He's going to raise us from our graves and give us new glorified bodies that will not get sick, that will not give in to temptation. No more sin nature, no more tears, no more death. No more dying. In that day, evil will be overcome by good forever in the whole earth. And we will see our God and it will all be worth it. All of the suffering He's asked us to walk through in this life will be worth it in that day. And we will say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Amen. You can hold on till that day comes by faith lived out day by day. Until God restores the world, renews the world, stand by faith. Paul had said in Romans 8 and 18, he says this, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. He says this creation is groaning. It's ready to have all these earthquakes and all this stuff, the results of the fall, this broken world, to have that restored and new. And so until that day comes, we walk out our faith day by day through good times and bad times together. We can sum this up, I think, with one last verse. 1 John 5. John writes this, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Faith in what? Faith in Christ crucified and raised. Who is it that overcomes the world? Except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. That's how we overcome. Christ overcame for us. We who believe share His victory. We live that victory out in part now, even as we suffer, looking with hope to a day when suffering will be no more. We see Him through faith right now, but a day is coming when we see Him with our eyes. Amen? And so let's encourage each other to hang on till then. Let's encourage ourselves to hold on in faith until the beauty and the glory comes. So I'll just leave you with this. So we bow in prayer in just a moment. I want you to ask the Lord, what does this look like in your life this week? How can you overcome evil with good? What is the evil that God has put in your situation or allowed to be in your situation? And how does He want you to shine His light through it? First of all, could I say this? We can't overcome evil if we're doing evil. Christians can't tolerate sin in our lives. Amen? He calls us to go overcome evil. That means not to love evil. Back in verse 9, He said to abhor what is evil. Hate what is evil. Don't let it have a place in your life. Are you giving a place to something in your life that God says is evil? Psalm 97, you who love the Lord, hate evil. What sins do you need to confess to the Lord this morning? Find victory over those things. Jesus breaks chains of sin in our lives, addictions, distractions of this world that we're giving ourselves to. Jesus brings victory. So don't tolerate sin in your life. Repent of it this morning. Look to the cross. Jesus died for that thing. Amen? And then as you have His victory, go out and walk in it. Let's pray.